Sound good this morning, church?
Yeah.
Good to hear so many engaging and participating in that song service. By way of introduction, my name is Brother Brad Harris. I am pleased to have been afforded this opportunity this morning to share with you a portion of God's Word. Since I was last amongst you, our family traveled to Florida to spend time with my sister and family. And it was that trip that got me thinking about the bonds of family. So it's not uncommon this time of year for our thoughts to turn to preparing our families for the future. So to question what routines have become tradition and rituals, and to think about today with our family, will we be remembered tomorrow with either good thoughts or bad thoughts? I'm talking about the bonds that you build within your family that are unbreakable. Many of us have those kinds of bonding moments with our family members, and I want you to think for a moment about what's the most recent memorable thing your family did together. For many of us, it was in the last 2 weeks, but those bonds, that time we spend together, whether it's with our biological family or with our brothers and sisters in Christ, with those who we are count as our friends, our family, and our loved ones, with whom or what are you spending most of your valuable time? As that will make a difference in the kind of bonds you build within your family and the family of God. When you think of spending your time, in a lifetime, the average American will spend 6 months sitting at stoplights, 8 months opening junk mail, 1 year looking for misplaced objects, typically your smartphone, 2 years unsuccessfully returning phone calls, 4 years doing housework, 5 years waiting in line, including amusement parks, and 6 years eating. It's an interesting thing, we're going to spend 6 years of our lives eating. Hopefully that helps you illustrate that our time isn't spent equally amongst things, not even amongst things we enjoy doing. Can you say your time is equally, if not more, spent with the Lord? We need to look at the time we're spending, the bonds we're making or not making with our families. And the first unbreakable bond I want to talk about building this morning is the bond of righteousness. Simply put, do we spend quality time with the Lord? And for that, I want us to open our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. Is there anyone in need of a Bible this morning? Anyone visiting with us or perhaps left it sitting on your nightstand table? If you'd open your Bible with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, we can bring a Bible. We've got extra Bibles. 1 Peter chapter 4. And I'm going to be reading from verses 1 through 11. I read it in preparation from numerous, both the King James, the NIV. I'm going to read it first from the easy to read. But I'll call out the verses so that you can follow along in your Bible. Starting in verse 1, Scripture says, Christ suffered while he was in his body, so you should strengthen yourselves with the same kind of thinking Christ had. The one who accepts suffering in this life has clearly decided to stop sinning. Verse 2, strengthen yourselves so that you will live your lives here on earth doing what God wants, not the evil things that people want to do. In the past, you wasted too much time doing what those who don't know God like to do. You were living immoral lives, doing the evil things you wanted to do. You were always getting drunk, having wild drinking parties, and doing shameful things in your worship of idols. Verse 4. Now those friends think it is strange that you no longer join them in all the wild and wasteful things they do. And so they say bad things about you. But they will have to face God to explain what they have done. He is the one who will judge everyone, those who are still living and those who have died. Some were told the good news before they died. They were criticized by others in their life here on earth. But it was God's plan that they hear the good news that so that they could have a new life through the Spirit. Verse 7. The time is near when all things will end. So keep your minds clear and control yourselves. This will help you in your prayers. Most important of all, love each other deeply, because love makes you willing to forgive many sins. Verse 9. Open your homes to each other and share your food without complaining. God has shown you His grace in many different ways, so be good servants and use whatever gift He has given you in a way that will best serve each other. And finally, verse 11, if your gift is speaking, your words should be like words from God. If your gift is serving, you should serve with the strength that God gives. Then it is God who will be praised in everything through Jesus Christ. Power and glory belong to Him forever and ever. Amen. A lot to dwell on and think about in terms of our bond and the time we spend with our loved ones, with our family, communing with the Lord, learning from the life of Christ. Pay attention there to verse 3. Right, verse 3 is where it says, I'll read it now from the King James, for the time past of our lives may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, reveling, banqueting, and abominable idolatries. It's reflecting on that for some of us, we have spent enough time doing the things of the world. Right? That our quality time, our time, has been spent elsewhere in the past. And we have to make a concerted effort to spend time with the Lord. I couldn't possibly emphasize this enough, right? That as God's children in the church, as people that are deliberately seeking a way out of this past way of living, described there in verse 3, as people who are troubled by what is happening in the world today, as people who've been faithful to Christ for as long as they can remember, the answer to what ails us is quality time spent with God. Today in America, there's a significant change happening right in front of our eyes that you probably noticed if you've been an observer of the culture and modern movement. In the world today, you know, there's debates. You know, we get together, I mentioned this earlier, around the Thanksgiving table. You see the family and friends you haven't seen so long, and you know, you've got debated what's unconstitutional, what's politically incorrect. Right? The world is seeking, people are looking for the kind of values in their lives that teach their children what is right and wrong. People have an attitude to seek out truth and its meaning. And people are coming to the conclusion and realizing that in God we trust and one nation under God aren't just phrases made popular by some overzealous religious folks, but truths that have been too long forgotten. We need to see that the church can be a new point of light in our community. It's to be the forefront of efforts to bring to question for the world the answer to what ails them. The church needs to start by spending quality time with God. It's a wake-up call to the church of Christ. The Lord is asking us as his church, his bride, his children, to spend time with him. And it's time for the church to become alert. It's time for the church, each of us, the person sitting next to you, right, to be the watchman on the hill. Right, to be the lighthouse for those that are lost. To be the foundation for those who need to stand. To be the catalyst that combines the members of the church into a strong family. This will happen when we turn to God and seek his face. God expects his children to spend quality time with him. Spending time with the Lord is a cornerstone that the church needs to build its foundation on. Colossians chapter 3, verses 14 through 17 says, "And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. And be thankful. Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." When you read those words from Colossians chapter 3, 14 through 17, can you imagine the transformation that would take place in our world if this were the standard today? If this was common practice amongst us? The way we accomplish that is by spending quality time with God, in God's Word, learning from God's Word, seeking God's Word. Right? But we spend, outside of our presence with one another, significant portions of our time with our individual families. So let's talk a little bit about what God's Word says about spending time with the family. As there can be more said about, obviously, our time with God, but God instructs us on the matters of the home. What does God say about the home and the way we interact with each other there? Well, it would probably make sense, as you guys know I've done before, to start with the head of the home and the wife and the bond between them both, as that's an important cornerstone in the building of a strong family. Do you spend quality time with your spouse? You may recall from my message on the marriage relationship earlier in the year, Jesus quoting back to them from Genesis chapter 2 and Matthew 19, verses 4 through 6. In Matthew 19, 4 through 6, Jesus says, "And he answered and said unto them, Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore what God has joined together, let not man put asunder, or let no man separate." He's talking about the unbreakable bond that can be formed by uniting in marriage. And this bond of cleaving, being united to each other, is the pattern in marriage that God wants husbands and wives to show. There's so many important times in your lives that will go by if you don't take the time to sit down and cherish time with each other. Scripture reveals that we need some quality time together to build that bond of cleaving and of unity. Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, in verses 3 through 5, Paul puts it this way. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the husband, wife unto the husband. The wife has not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband has not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not. Paul, in that explanation, is pointing out that the part of the solution for a marriage that wants to stay together for the long haul, as Paul's urging the husband and the wife to submit one to another, not only as a prevention of temptation, but as a building block for intimacy, and as a way to become united to each other in such closeness that no man could separate. And if we didn't use the marriage analogy, or if we talked about this, or what Paul is talking about, I was thinking about this yesterday. I was sitting, attending a basketball game at a high school. Right, his ROs playing on the girls' basketball team for Palo Verde. They won yesterday. Good game. And if I used her win yesterday as an analogy for marriage, right, I know that her coach likely spent hours scouting, preparing offensive and defensive strategies, finding out the strengths and weaknesses of his own players, and making a game plan in order to take his players to a game. But unless the players submit to his leadership, they're not going to win. Right? Neither the coach nor the players can be done without. But neither is more or less important than the other. They're a team. Right? And such is the case with marriage. The time spent in playing the game together builds the bond between a man and his wife the way God intended for marriage. This cornerstone, this unbreakable bond of cleaving or being united together through quality time, helps to build the foundation of a stronger family. Because the third unbreakable bond I want to talk about should be the bonds of the parents and the family. Calling into question, do we spend enough quality time with our children? Right. We know in America, every 24 hours, 3,000 children see their parents divorced. Over 1,500 children are put in an adult jail. Over 3,000 children run away from school. Over 1,500 children drop out of school. Almost 8,000 teens become sexually active. And when we think about what's our role, what's our personal responsibility to these bonds, we have to make specific time to spend with our children. Right? Where was my teenager last night? Those are questions that bring the heart of the family to the test. The amount of quality time we spend with our children is going to reflect in the attitude and the way we bring them up. And now more than ever, the family is the place to turn for help. God's word says to bring up children in the way that they should go, and they will not depart from it. God's word also speaks to me as a father in this way, that I shouldn't exasperate my children. Happens on occasion. But these are times when children, teenagers, even college students are going to rely or not rely on the values they learned or are learned in their homes. As parents, we have a responsibility to be God's agent to our children. It's our responsibility to be the messenger, to give our children every opportunity to see Christ in who we are. It's really through passive and just poor parenting that children today are becoming some of those statistics I called out about every 24 hours in America, or that we see in the news. Reality shows on every network are exploiting the negligence of the parents and the lives of their children. This generation of children are making decisions today without their parents involved and without being given a reason for choosing what is right over wrong. The same can be said of God's family. Lost souls in our community are for a place to find. Lost souls in our community should be able to turn to the church as a place to find identity, a place to find support and hope. God is waiting and calling us to return to Him for these things. As a child, I had the privilege, the blessing, the benefit of growing up in a Christian family. I know where my belief system comes from. I know where my support and my hope comes from. But what about those who haven't been in the church? What about those families here within the community of Pahrump? God wants them to know the same things that I do, the same things that you do. The church is the family that God wants everyone to be a part of. Our families are the places where we first are nurtured. We learn first of love, happiness, faith. All these things make a family the place where we find our values, the truths that make us who we are. God's family, the church, is the same way. If we as His family do not show those outside of God's family what it means to be an intricate part, we dishonor God. Becoming a Christian builds a bond that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will never break. So if you are not a Christian, if you have not been baptized with a knowledgeable decision on your part, not as an infant, not because everyone else was doing it, not sprinkled on, poured on, or otherwise, but as the Bible teaches in Mark 16 and 16, to be completely immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins, then you need to make that decision and be welcomed by your brothers and sisters in Christ into the body of Christ, into God's family. If you're not a member of the church, it starts by spending quality time with God, as your Heavenly Father wants you, His lost and needing child, to come and be welcomed into His family. Right? The pathway to salvation is simple. Right? Scripture tells us in Romans 10 and 17 that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Right? Scripture goes on to tell us in Hebrews 11 and 6 that without faith, it's impossible to please Him, the Lord. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Right? We must seek out salvation. We must not passively sit back and wait for it to come to us. Right? If we find ourselves in a position where we've learned of God's word, and recognize we've been living in a way that's contrary to God's word, that solution is simple. As stated by Christ Himself in Luke 13, 3 and 5, it says, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And that is simply an instruction that once we know better, we must change. We must turn away from those sins or those acts that draw us away from the Lord. Sometimes that's as simple as putting away distractions. Right? I gave earlier in my message how we were each spending our time. And just being a better steward of how we're spending our time. giving more of our time to God, giving more of our time to our families, giving more of our time to just reflection on how we can better serve the Lord as children of God. All right, we just must simply repent, which is just to turn away, or accept the consequence. Accept the warning in that verse, like we talked about in our Bible study this morning. The warning in that verse, both Luke 13, 3 and 5, is, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Right? You don't have to change. You just must change if you're going to avoid the consequence that God has already determined for remaining in your iniquity, remaining in your sin, the judgment that will beset you. Right? No matter whether you are living righteously in your eyes or living, as we read this morning in Ezekiel, the life of the wicked. We must all repent or perish. Then we understand, as we talked about in our Bible study, we must follow through by being willing to confess Christ to others. Or as he says himself, Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. We cannot keep our beliefs, our faith, our trust in the Lord to ourselves. We have to be willing to share it, to confess it in front of others. Right? Understanding that, as I said earlier, that he that believes and is then baptized shall be saved. We must follow that act of confession by being willing to put on Christ in baptism. And we've been promised an opportunity at salvation if we would then just continue to live a life that is pleasing in the sight of the Lord. So if there's any amongst you this morning who are in the body of Christ, but recognize you haven't been living in a way that's pleasing to the Lord, thank God for his mercy and start over again this morning. Right? Focus on the unbreakable bonds that the Lord has placed in our lives. There is nothing that can become between us and Christ. We can turn from the Lord, but if we stay rooted, stay grounded in our foundation, right? We have been promised a pathway to salvation. Right, so I invite you this morning to repent and come back to doing the will of the Father before it's too late, while together we stand and sing the song of invitation, number 598.